Ladies and gentlemen of ancient and new ship.
What?
We're going to play a game today called What Did Thomas Write on a Piece of Paper? Starring Lee and Thomas, because Thomas's handwriting is bad. This is...
Oh, gosh.
I'm just going to write something, and we're going to see if Lee can decipher it.
But you can't even decipher your own stuff.
But I can remember it.
Okay. You literally just 5 minutes ago said, I wish I had my journal with me so I could know what I was thinking about. But then you were like, if I had it, I wouldn't be able to read it.
Do you want me to try to write pretty, or do you want me to just go for it?
It
my handwriting.
It doesn't matter.
Let's I didn't involve you in this at all. I just wanted to grab a piece of pen and paper.
So I'm going to narrate. I'm your play-by-play announcer. He's literally writing on an Oak Ridge High School yearbook. Well, on a piece of paper that's resting on an Oak Ridge High School yearbook. And who knows what this is going to be. Thomas and I have led a high school Bible study and middle school Bible study for a lot of years together. And occasionally we'll get kids to write things down and we'll try to read them. And sometimes reading kids' writing is... It's one of those things where you feel bad for teachers. Like, teachers out there, how do you do it? How in the world do you decipher what some of these people are writing?
Okay, on this paper I've written 3 sentences. I know what they say. There's no way you will find out what they are.
Okay, I'm ready.
This is bad.
Oh my gosh.
Sentence number one, please, if you wouldn't mind.
Wait, that third... Oh, that's something you scratched out. Oh, I can read the last one.
What does it say?
Lee loves his rabbit and his dog.
He said it, everyone. He said it.
This one says...
This is my normal everyday handwriting.
The left flute really... Darth?
The left flute really Darth?
I don't know what it says. I think I...
This is like something we would...
I think I puff cats.
For some reason, I've watched Meet the Fockers and Meet the Parents.
Yeah.
Each in the last week. So that was a good one. I think I puff cats. You know, because his RV horn was Puff the Magic...
Jinxy Cat.
Puff the Magic Dragon.
Yeah, that's right.
This is something that someone would do on...
I pass
like
on
a,
grass all the
like
time.
An early... No, it was close. I think I prefer cats.
Prefer. Okay.
Yeah.
There's no way that's the word prefer.
And the top one was the kite flies really high.
Oh. Wow. I said something about the left flute.
I can see it, actually. This is something that someone would do on like a drive time radio show. You know, it's like, for me, I'd be like, why are y'all doing something that involves sight?
This is a drive time radio show.
Yeah, I guess it is. For some people.
Yeah. I mean, it's listener, you know, it's on demand. You can listen to it while you're driving.
I can't explain. Like no one can see what I just saw, but for some reason I looked out of the corner of my eye and it looked like you ate a fly out of the air. I don't know what it was.
You keep describing visual things.
You looked like a frog who just got breakfast.
Welcome to ancient and new.
Go back and listen to that. See if you can hear it. That was interesting. I don't know why we did that, but we did it.
Well, it's heaps of fun over here.
We had a false start this morning.
If you tried to read Thomas's handwriting, though, the thing that you would find is, I think he's doing this on purpose, but you're really not.
Nope. If I try to write pretty, I get frustrated.
When you write letters...
Because I still mess up.
Like, if you write a love letter to your wife, does she have any idea what's going on?
I hope. I write in all caps. But it's still really small. I don't know why I have really small handwriting. Like, that's as big as I'll ever get right there. That's probably like 13-point font.
So Tom Jobe's handwriting, if you've never seen it, is exactly like Comic Sans. Like, it's like a comic strip.
Yeah, it's really
good. Really neat.
He writes super slow, though, doesn't he?
That's a good question.
I think he does, but that's not me, like, knocking on him.
He's like drawing when he's writing.
Yeah, I know. It's so cool. Mine's just terrible.
My wife Christy's handwriting is the coolest font in the world.
I have gotten a letter from Christy.
It's just beautiful.
Like
her handwriting is so cool. Do you think that, when you think about your parents' handwriting, could you tell it's they're riding immediately?
If you see oh, them? Yeah.
Isn't that funny? I can do the
yeah,
same.
Yeah, no difference right? between Santa and Dad on those riding papers.
This is...
Now, you can tell that my dad's super artistic. People don't know that about him. Like, he can draw with really? The best of them. Yeah, he's fantastic. He draws landscapes really well. Like,
that's cool.
Not like, let me lay your yard out for you, but like, I'm going to take a pen and a piece of paper and draw the front of your house. And
that's
like,
cool.
It's just beautiful. He does a great job.
He could have an Etsy store.
He should. That's dramatic. I don't know. He's just good. He doesn't do it very much. Like, I got him a sketchbook for his birthday a couple years ago. I don't think he knows where it is. It's like, hey, this is a thing you're good at. You should try it.
No.
Interesting. But when my mom's handwriting's like mine, except lefty. So it like.
Really?
Yeah. I would definitely say
I didn't know Becky was a southpaw.
My handwriting is my mom's, but I'm trying to be my dad's. I don't know if that makes sense,
nope.
But like.
It makes zero sense. So.
The cool shoes, man. I like those.
Thanks, buddy. you keep doing visual things. So we're going to talk about some scriptures this week and well, every week and, just some things that have been, grabbing our attention and making us think and drawing us to the Lord. So maybe did I kick off last week or did you?
I stopped counting after the debacle last September.
Why don't I kick off? Today.
I don't think there what's going on with me this morning?
I don't know, man.
I'm sorry.
Exodus chapter 16.
Whoa.
I'm still on Moses. And in Exodus chapter 16 is when they like the children of Israel have left Egypt. They have gone, you know, the Lord has split the Red Sea. He got them through to the other side. The Egyptian army came down into the waters. He brings the waters back down, crushes the whole Egyptian army, and then boom, here's the children of Israel have made it. They're out of slavery. And it takes them like 5 seconds of hardship, and they're like longing to go back to Egypt. And they're grumbling against Moses, and they're saying like, well, we had all this food in Egypt. And part of me is always like, did you though? They're like, yeah, we sat around in luxury and just like ate all this, you know, we ate whatever we wanted. And you, whenever I read their complaints, I'm like, no, like you literally were just crying out about how unbearable your lives are and how hard Pharaoh made it on you.
Yeah.
And immediately already in this new situation, you're like, this is worse.
Yeah.
Anyway, so God provides food for these people. And, you know, of course it was just this miraculous thing. They're going to be wandering in the desert. They don't have the chance to plant crops and to harvest and all that kind of stuff. And so he does this amazing thing. And I'm going to read from, this is Exodus chapter 16. It says, when the dew was gone, so like they woke up one morning and the dew of the morning was gone. It said thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, what is it? For they didn't know what it was. Moses said to them, it is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. So you wake up one morning and it's like if you went on a camping trip and you didn't bring any food and you wake up in the morning and the ground, it's not cold, but the ground is covered in what looks like snow. Mm. It says later in that chapter that this stuff was like white, like coriander seed, but like flakes. And they were supposed to go out and he said like, take a bowl and gather up. He says an omer, whatever, however much an omer is. Like I think it wound up being like a quart or nearly a quart or something like that for each person in your family. And then, and then you're going to like grind it up into flour and you're going to make bread with it. And basically he said it would taste like they would make these little like rolls or cakes that tasted like honey. Mm. And you're like, dang, this is so cool. And it was like, and basically what Moses said is every single morning, this stuff is going to be on the ground. You're going to gather up everything you need for the day. You don't have to do anything for it. And, you don't have to like do a rain dance or anything like that or like, it's just going to be here every single morning. But you can't keep it. You can't like gather extra and then keep it for the next day, because it'll mold and it'll get stinky and it'll go bad. Except on Friday, gather twice as much as you need on Friday, because on Saturday you're resting, and then God will make it last on that day. The whole thing is so miraculous and so cool. And there's, you know, and basically they looked at this stuff and they said, what is it? And the Hebrew word for that question, what is it, is manna. So like when we talk about manna from heaven, that's what it is. They're just like, hey, can you pass me some of the, what is it? Sure. Here's some, what is it? Like they had never seen it before. They don't know how it got there. They don't know what it is. They just know God gave it to them and they didn't have to work for it. But there's so many cool things about it. When I think about kind of spiritual nourishment, which is, I couldn't gather manna for you. Like, you had to gather it for your family. I gather it for my family. And I can't get it for longer than a day. You know, like, I have to go out and get it every single day. And I think about, like, my walk with the Lord, and there's just so many cool parallels of, like, there's something that God wants to give me every single day. And I got to go get it for myself. Nobody can get it for me. And it's, whatever he gives me is not going to last into the next day. I got to go get it again. And I think during a time like we've been going through the past year or so, like, that's been a difficult thing for people, because people are discouraged and they're lethargic and they're just kind of like, whatever. And I saw this great meme the other day that was like, it was like quarantine season one. And it was like, it was two images from the same Disney movie, 101 Dalmatians. It was like quarantine season one. And it's like this, it's an image of the dad of the family, like playing piano in a room surrounded by instruments. And he's like writing and playing piano at the same time. They're like, that's season one. And then quarantine season two. And it was just like Cruella de Vil, like lying back on a bed with a cigarette, like, just like, I'm done. And I think that's where a lot of people are, is like, yeah, I started out like learning how to make banana bread and crocheting, whatever. And now I'm just done. And it's like, no, you have to go get the manna every day. There's something God wants to give you. And like, you don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
They called it, what is it? But you got to go get it every day. And I can't get it for you. You're going to have to get it for yourself. And there's so many folks that, like, this is true of my life. It's true of everybody. Like, you're going to have to get up out of your tent and go collect whatever it is God has for you and make some bread with it. Yeah. And that's going to be your nourishment for the day. Mm. And then you got to go do it again tomorrow. Yeah. You know, but if you do, it's like, it's going to fill you up. It's going to be miraculous. It's going to taste like honey. It's going to be awesome.
I think that's cool. F.B. Meyer was saying in the devotional book that I'm reading right now, it was what I was reading yesterday. He was talking about, he was saying, you know, I hope you find yourself in the morning, you know, spending time in prayer in the morning and in the evening, or whenever you need it. But he was saying, I hope you find yourself in sweet communion with the Lord.
Mm.
Just good. In the morning, like, find yourself in communion with him. And I think that adds another layer to it when you talk about manna almost being that. I think that's cool to think about my time in the morning with him as like needing to go out and gather manna and what I need for the day. And when you add that thought in there about it being bread and that being like a sweet communion with the Lord, that's encouraging and helpful for me to think of it like that. I think it's been, you talked about this before, but Maddie and I, this is laughable, but we just got a dog and it's like actually working this time, you know. We tried so hard, as people know, and Dobby is her name, because she has these big floppy ears like the house elf.
She's so awesome.
Yeah, she's super cute. Such a cute dog. She's really sweet, and she's good at being a dog, you know. She's just good at it. But I'm just like, I'm finding myself at 5:15 standing outside in the 25 degree weather with like a layer of frost on the ground every morning. And it's kind of been like a gift from the Lord, because I hesitate to say this because I don't know if there's any truth to this at all, but like you know, instead of pushing myself, my wake up time to like 5:30, 5:45, 5:47, you know, like now I've got 12 minutes, 15 minutes to make a pot of coffee and read. Now it's like, okay, 5:15, I just took the dog out. All right. Like my communion time with him has expanded, and it's come at a moment of necessity after a year of what this is and what you're saying. It's right, like, right. I'm at Cruella de Vil, you know, that's where I'm at. And now that this other four-legged creature has been added to our life, it's been sweet because it's not for any reason other than like, she's just been fun and sweet and made us laugh a lot. But like, also it's just, I've had to get up a little bit earlier, and I'm embarrassed that it's taken a dog to do that, but it's been really helpful to go from Cruella de Vil to like, now I find myself like literally looking at like sparkly frozen ground super early in the morning, as if just like the Israelites probably did, you know, get out of their tent. There's just like a layer of like sparkly dust there, and they gather it up, and it's been a sweet thing to add that to my time with the Lord. 'Cause there's something about like, honestly, being outside that early in the morning when nothing else is around you except for, and it's so still and so quiet. Yeah. It's so quiet, especially in the winter, because there's no birds singing yet.
Right.
You know, like they wait until they have some warmth, and there's no locusts, there's no crickets, you know, it's just quiet, you know?
Yeah.
When it gets summertime, they've got, you know, you just have like that buzz of locusts in the background at all times, which is super cool. But there's a thing where you can, that early, it's like the stars are brighter than normal, and you're just alone outside, and there's a certain gratitude about being up that early, because it's just, it just feels like it's just you and God and
yes,
your dog. Like, right. But it really does. But when it's that early, you feel like no one else in the world is possibly awake right now. And yet I'm outside in the freezing cold with a four-legged creature. It's just me and the Lord and this animal who's needing to go to the bathroom so she doesn't go in our house.
Yeah, there's something I need, and I've got to get it from him, and nobody else can give it to me, and I'm going to have to find some time to do it. And like, I love what you're saying about being up early, because I've always felt that way. When I was in college, I got a job working at a daycare thing, and it caused me to get up super duper early in Cookeville, and that was the first time in my life that I'd ever done that. And I realized like, oh, there's some appeal here. There's some cool stuff about this, and so that's been my rhythm ever since then. But like, I think that the idea of thinking about manna in this way of like, the thing that I need for my spiritual nourishment, I have to go get myself. God is willing to give it to me. I don't even know what it is. And it's going to be sweet and it's going to be good. And I got to go get it every day. That is deepened so much when you do finally like turn over to John chapter 6 and Jesus said, no, I'm the bread that came down from heaven, that you're like, I am the bread of life. And it's like, oh, it's just, it's exactly what you said with the F.B. Meyer quote. It's like, it's communion with Jesus. I just, every single day, I need to be friends with him. Every single day, I need to connect with him and know him.
Yeah, I like that. Just thinking about, we haven't done communion in a year.
Not in here.
Yeah, and it's, I don't know. I feel like I miss it, and it's been helpful for me to think of my time with him as that this week. I think it's
cool.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to be in John chapter 10.
I'm holding this microphone, so I only have one hand to turn with. But you know, I'm an old Bible drill champion, so I think I can make it work.
An old, I've never used the word old to describe you, and it, for some reason, it just made me like squirm a little bit. I don't think of you that way, I guess. But
old Bible study.
I'm an old Bible Bible drill. This is from John chapter 10, and it's just, there's a lot you could grab out of this. and I'm excited to read it because the idea of this has been, I'll get to this. Anyways, this, I'm going to start in verse 3. I'm holding back what I was going to say. I was going to say it first. Now I'm like, I need to read first
hold
before
back,
I talk
hold
about
it. Back. You got here we go. This.
The gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Like during my lunch breaks at work for the past month, when I haven't had like a meeting or something for lunch and I've like brought my own and sat at my desk and watched YouTube videos, I've like found myself watching
the animals.
Yes, but like watching specifically shepherds in the UK with
really?
Their sheepdogs. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Watching them train them, watching them work sheep. It is unbelievable if you haven't done it. It's okay. Amazing. It's just impressive the way they teach them
like
to do these things.
Like documentaries or do people have like channels?
No, it's like
a niche.
It's like an iPhone YouTube. Video. Like, okay. You know, but yeah. It's still like, but the, it's just, it's crazy to watch them do their thing. And it's also crazy to watch the sheep just like, they all move together. They all do their own thing. And they're so easily like, you know, like if there's an opening, they like run for it. If there's not, you know, they're just like so easily guided.
Yeah.
You know? And I think like if I'm a sheep, when I think about my life before Jesus, like I was just like so easily, like my attention's everywhere. I'm going this way. I'm going this way. I'm going this way. Like that seems awesome. I'm going to go there. Oh, that was a cliff. I just walked off and now all my body is broken. You know, or like that's, oh, I need a drink from this creek. Oh, but it washed me away. Like there's just like so many places I went to that like seemed amazing that were so dangerous and ended up being terrible for me.
Yeah.
It's helpful for me to think of myself like a sheep because I'm like, I just didn't know any better. Mm. I was just kind of dumb. I didn't know any better. And then you get to this place where you're reading this and it's like, when you realize that Jesus is your shepherd, which like this whole passage is super cool because he describes himself as the gate for the sheep. And then he describes himself later as the good shepherd. It's so interesting. Yeah. You know, like there's so many like, you know, I am this, I am this, I am this. I think it's such a cool passage of scripture. But when you get to the point where you do realize like, I need a shepherd really bad because otherwise I'm just like, I don't know any better. Like sheep just don't know any better. That's just the way I think I would describe them. They don't know any better. They have to be led. They have to be guided. They have to be shown what is best for them. It's super helpful for me. And it like, it just, I think I'm at my smartest and I'm at my best when I realize I need guidance. I need a shepherd. I don't know any better on my own. I need some help. And then you read this and you're like, golly, like the thing that always trips me up is when he says he goes ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice and he has brought out all his own. He calls his own sheep by name. Like the word his own and like their name, like he calls them by name. That is so cool to me. I can't tell a difference between a single sheep anywhere unless like one has a little bit of this color on them. Yeah. You know, it's like they all look the same. Their eyes kind of go different directions.
They all look ridiculous.
They all look silly and they all just do stupid things. And this is saying like he calls them because they're his own. He calls them by their name. I think that's so cool. And I'm just, for me to read this and to just say, I'm just a silly sheep. I need to be led. I need to be guided. Everything before this, I was doing my best and it was not working. It was terrible. It was bad. I'm at my best when I follow my own shepherd's voice and when I listen to him. And then to read like a little further down when it's saying they run away because they don't recognize a stranger's voice. it's so encouraging to read that, because there's so many times as I've gotten more mature in my walk with the Lord and as I've come to recognize his voice more and more.
Yeah.
It's so encouraging. Like, have you ever had a moment where you've clearly been tempted by Satan and you realized it after you skirted it? You know, you were just like,
yeah,
I could have gone down that rabbit hole. I didn't realize it until after I said no to it. And I was like, right. Oh my gosh, that was so obvious.
Yeah.
Not Jesus's voice.
Right.
That was such a, and it's like, you just want to call everybody and be like, I didn't do that thing. You know, it's so awesome. It's so encouraging. I'm like a jumbled mess in all the things I'm describing right now, but I think it was, I read this the other morning and I was just like, I'm kind of grateful that I'm just a sheep. I'm glad this, he didn't describe us as like apes, you know, who can like open fruit and eat and like hang out in groups and make sign friends language. And do sign language. Like he didn't describe us as dolphins who are like super intelligent and smart. He didn't describe us as like an eagle that flies super well and like can pick off its own prey and does well on its own. He described us as sheep that do best when they're grouped up together and they're led by somebody. I'm like, that is so awesome. That's it. Encouraging.
Well, the thing that you talked about a little bit, but the thing
I talked
that,
about everything a little
the
bit,
thing,
Lee.
The thing that grabbed my attention was, the thing that grabbed hold of me was just that he calls them by their name. And I think for me, you know, I spent so much of my life trying to figure out what's my identity going to be. And I think in my particular case, it was always, what's the thing I'm going to be the best at than anybody else? Because mm-hmm. That's how you distinguish yourself is that's like literally what it means to like, you're something that nobody else is. And what we usually mean by that is I'm going to be the best at this. And then that's going to be my thing. And that's what I'm going to be known by. And you know, at different times in my life, it was like, all right, I'm the kid that I draw Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles better than everybody else, like in the third grade or something, or like, you know, or like, I'm going to be, like when I went to the boys club to get my football pads for the first time in third grade, I was like, I'm going to be awesome at football. And then like I was a fullback. They handed me the ball one time on a 2-point conversion. 'Cause you don't kick extra points in boys club. Nice. And I fumbled the ball on the 1-yard line. And and I was never handed the ball ever again in my entire football career.
That's not fair.
And it was all mediocrity from that point on. But like all that to say, like there are things that you think, in my case anyway, this is going to be my name. Mm-hmm. This is going to be my legacy. This is going to be my thing. This is how I distinguish myself. But that Jesus he sees something different in me. He's growing something different. He's doing something different. He has a different name. He has a real reality for the thing that distinguishes me, not the thing I'm the best at, but the thing that he's growing in me, and that he is calling that name and I'm hearing it more and more and more. That thing about the stranger's voice is so cool because, you know, like when we first got our dog, the shelter had given her a name. And then we decided we're going to name her something else. Anna picked a name and we started reinforcing it. My favorite thing is like when anybody in our family addresses her, she wags her tail, you know, like even if it's just a tiny little wag. When she hears Christy's voice, she wags her entire body. Yeah. Like it just like her whole hips, like it knocks like her walking is off kilter because she's wagging her body so hard. And it's just like, that's the way I want to be with Jesus is like, when that's I cool. hear his voice, I just want to wag, you know, just like wag my whole body. Yeah, like yeah. There he is. He's over here, you know? And so I want to recognize the thing that he's making me into, the thing that he's calling out of me. And I want to go towards that. I want to go towards that voice. And I love also what you're saying of like, and I want to get better at hearing the other voices and saying, that's not where I'm going.
Right. Yeah. Thanks for summing up what I was trying to say and doing it well. It was awesome. It was a little bit scattered.
These are sweet thoughts. I got certain people on my mind, even as we're doing this, that I know listen to this show and that we know for whatever reason they're going through a hard time. And if you're one of those people, know that you're literally on my mind right now. And like, and my hope is that you find the manna and you hear the voice and like you, that you feel nourished today by something that he gives you.
That's cool. I like that. I'm encouraged because of this.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, I mean, if you were to write me a letter describing your encouragement, there's no way I'd be able to read it.
No. You know,
you're going to have to stick with text.
I want to get a typewriter.
Although, when you text, like, you decided a few years ago you're not going to correct.
It depends on who it's to. To you, I just, you just get what you get, man. We just text enough to where it's like, and like, same thing with Maddie, gets some weird thing.
Because like, you don't
what
correct
did
anymore.
That word mean? Yeah. I'm like, I don't know. Exactly. Couldn't tell you.
I love that you also can't discern your own texts.
Like, the amount of, like, I have this group text where I text really fast in, and it's like the amount of like asterisk word, asterisk, because yeah. I meant to say right, that, you know, right, it's like right, all of a sudden one text ends up being six because it's like autocorrect. Why didn't I fix it? Autocorrect. That's funny.
Well, thanks for joining us, folks. I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
You said that with like such
really
like you went like you were like, I'm Thomas.
Oh, I didn't mean to do that. I'm Thomas.
And this has been Ancient and New.
Yep.
Bye. Come ye disconsolate, wherever you languish. Come to the mercy seat, fervently kneel. Here bring your wounded hearts, here tell your anguish. Earth has no sorrow that heaven. No sorrow that heaven can't heal. Joy of the comfortless, lie of the straying, hope of the penitent, fadeless and pure. Here speaks the comforter, tenderly saying, there's no sorrow that heaven can't cure. No, earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. No sorrow that